When you're looking at the three various areas in which to invest, remember, investing is a plan. The plan for you, again, is not going to be the same as my plan. Sometimes the plan is very boring. It's an automatic, one step at a time. But as long as you're headed in the right direction, you're going to reach your goal. The issue is to start. Develop the plan and start moving in the right direction. You might be an employee and be very happy with your job, and that's terrific. But it's your responsibility to provide for your own financial future. Everybody, whether they're in the E quadrant, S quadrant, or the B quadrant, needs to also be an investor. Remember, we said it already, it's not what you do for your day job, it's what you do with your check when you get your check. And that's what we want to help you with. Now, there are certain overlying rules, and you'll find those included in step 4 of your program. I just want to touch a few of them for you. The first rule is know what kind of income you have to work with. Now, that might be a very simple thing for most of you because you may be a wage earner. All of your income may be W-2. So you'll automatically move to rule number 2, which is learn how to convert your earned income into portfolio income and passive income as efficiently and quickly as possible.
How could somebody do that, Sharon?
Well, that's exactly what we're going to talk about in this step and the next step. It's how you use your money from your job to invest in assets. Let's remember we talked about passive and portfolio income. What type of assets create passive and portfolio income? Stocks, paper securities, royalties, real estate. That's the kind of asset we want in our asset column. Purchase securities that are secure is rule number 3. Now, that means different things to different people. For instance, Diane referred earlier to my wonderful debacle in one particular stock. I have money that I put aside to invest, and that's not money that I need for my mortgage or to put food on my family's table. I have a foundation of security and investments and assets that provide my future, and I have some money that I like to play with on the side. So I've taken care of my security plan, and that's what we're talking about here. Purchase securities that are secure to cover your financial plan for security.
Number 4 is learn how to become your own best asset instead of your own liability. I'm reminded of a now famous study that Fidelity did. Now, Fidelity has a large number of mutual funds, and they studied their mutual funds over the period of 1994 and 1995. And in this group they looked at, they had an average return of 15%. In other words, that's what the mutual fund went up, an average of 15%. Now, just as a guess, what do you think that the average investor in those funds would have made? Well, you're thinking, well, of course, 15%, that's what you make. And do you know that the answer is the average investor in those funds made a minus 5%? They lost 5%. Now, how can that be? It must be fees. No, it had nothing to do with that. Fidelity truly went up 15% if you had bought it at the right time and sold it at the right time. But inevitably, investors will follow the crowd and panic. And if they see everybody selling, they jump in to sell. So they're selling as the stock is going down. And then they see a good deal and the stock's going up, so they buy. Well, an investor might also do that same thing with a mutual fund. That's why they lost money. The fund was well run. The investor was his own liability. Rule number 5 is to be prepared for anything. Don't try to predict. Prepare. There's a difference there. In other words, if you're trying to always predict, well, this will be a good deal if the market goes up, or I'm going to buy this piece of land, and, you know, everything always goes up, so it's going to go up in value. Instead, a good investor is going to buy. They make the money on the buy. They're buying at the right time, and they're prepared. If there's a downturn, they're ready for it. If there's an upturn, they're ready for it. Either way, they can take advantage of the situation.
Yes, an educated investor is prepared to make money in both an up market and a down market because they understand the difference and they understand when the opportunities present themselves and they don't have an emotional piece that gets in the way for so many other people.
It's interesting, if you've heard the comments on the last 2 rules, listen carefully. both of them fundamentally have to do with emotions. You might be asking yourself now, wait a second, what do emotions have to do with money? And you know what? They have everything to do with it. That's one thing Rich Dad taught us, and why the first third of this program all had to do with Think It. Because it's learning to change the way you think, getting control of the emotions. Only then can you begin to put the learn and the do it on top of that to create your own financial wealth.
So how do we get started? Well, let's look at rule number 6. It's learn to trust that when a good deal presents itself, the funding will be close behind. A lot of people will say, well, I mean, I can find an investment, but they're not going to lend me money. I'm not going to be able to find the money. And again, it's back to emotion, as Diane just said. They're afraid. They're afraid to ask. You know, have you ever thought of going into your bank just saying, you have an opportunity to loan me money? Change your mindset instead of going in and saying, please, please, can I have some money?
And I know that's true for me. It's true for my clients. If somebody presents a deal that makes a lot of sense, they have the money to invest. So for anyone listening to this, trust that if you have a good enough deal and it's solid, you will absolutely find the funding to make it work. Finally, rule 7 is to know how to evaluate risk and reward. Now that's a relative term because there's risk in everything we do. And there's certain levels of risk that we can all handle in our own financial life. Remember the 3 goals that we started out with? Secure, comfortable, and rich? Well, if your goal is security, you're not going to want much risk. However, if you're at the point of rich, you can handle more risk because you have more baskets of income that will support you if one property, for example, were to go bad.
And typically, you've already provided for your financial plan for security and comfort. And those 2 plans have incorporated investment vehicles that inherently have less risk. But let's not forget what Rich Dad said. The most risky thing in life is being an employee. So that really kind of shakes you up a little bit. But as an employee, if your only source of income is your wage, then you better think twice because you are at the mercy of your employer.
Not only are you at risk being an employee, but many people add additional risk because they're suddenly working for the government by paying a lot of taxes and working for their mortgage company by having a lot of debt and working for the credit card companies because they have the credit card debt. So in essence, they've become an employee with a great deal of risk in their lives. And there's always the uncertainty of, will you have that job tomorrow?
So take the steps to bring down your own personal risk, which is that of being an employee, by starting to build an investment portfolio. We call it the 2-legged approach in the cash flow quadrant. Have one leg in the E, that's okay, but make sure you get that other leg in the investment quadrant. Become an investor, whether you're an E or an S or a B. You also need to become an investor.
And furthermore, become a smart investor by following these 7 rules that we've just summarized.
Absolutely.